Shank Baggily. Shank Baggily. Shank Baggily. Hello and welcome to Shatbaggily, an old Lincolnshire adjective to describe absolutely anything loose and disorderly, which sums up both the podcast and this Lincolnshire lass quite nicely, as I do tend to go off on a tangent every so often. In a moment, hints and tips for those stuffing balls and roast potatoes from Chef Mark, a story that could quite easily be a Christmas movie, a husband and wife chef duo on British cuisine, and yes, you've been warned, it's time for the Christmas song. First though, with it being episode 29, here are a few other things with the same number. Languages into which Scrabble has been translated. The most cumulative weeks at number one on the UK official singles chart by a female artist. The accolade still belongs to Madonna, achieved back in 2008. And the age in years of the oldest ever chinchilla. Radar was his name. He was born in Germany, but moved with his owner to America when he was 17. I knew they had the most wonderful fur, but hadn't appreciated that they can have up to 60 hairs per follicle. And if they're in danger from predators, they can let go of their fur to escape. So if they're caught, it just goes. It's called fur slip, apparently. Grows back again. Isn't nature wonderful? So I hope you're doing okay. We finally managed to sort our Christmas tree out last Monday, the latest we've ever done it. It was Glyn's one day off from Panto, and the chap who we get the tree from was asking about what Glyn does. So mentioned being a sound engineer and all that. To which the chap then asked if indeed it was a paid job, because he's looking for a Santa for next year. Well, it sounds like the job's Glyn's. Oh well, if all else goes pear-shaped. Staying with all things festive, more handy hints then from Chef Mark Harris. Last week he taught Yorkshire puddings, and coming up, it's roast potatoes. But first,
stuffing balls. Yeah, we do two different versions of stuffing. Our Christmassy one, it's a chefy stuffing, so we tend to do... I do half pork mince, half sausage meat, with some frozen cranberries, whizzed through it, some sage and onion chopped through it, bit of egg yolk, and then we tighten it up with breadcrumbs. It's a chefy version, which, you know, no one likes a chefy version. I try not to do chefy too much.
Should we not do breadcrumbs then?
We also do a different one at the Tally Ho, because I have a love affair with cheap Paxo sage and onion stuffing. I love it. Like, I absolutely, if like I'm in a supermarket and I'm in a rush, I'll always have a chicken and stuffing sandwich. It just comes from my childhood. My mum always used to make sage and stuffing, and I'd just eat it when she just mixed it. Didn't have to be baked. I'll eat it by the spoonful. I love it. So when we did the Sunday lunch menu for the Tally Ho, we wanted it to be slightly different. So I was like, we'll do stuffing. We'll put stuffing with it. But I want it to be sage and onion. But like, obviously, that's kind of frowned upon. So what we do is we make the stuffing as per a packet would tell you. And then if you just add in half the amount, once it's mixed and it's just cooling down a bit, if you add in half the amount of total mix with sausage meat and, you know, a little bit of like fresh sage, you end up like with this really kind of half-breed chefy stuffing, cheap sage and onion stuffing. It kind of ticks all the boxes. And then you just roll that into balls and bake that. So you get like a sausage meat, sage onion stuffing kind of thing. So it's kind of crossbreed, chefy, not chefy, homely.
Mark will be back in a bit for the final one of his handy festive tips, roast potatoes. Funny enough, I was looking at my mum's old recipe book and she'd cut out one for sage and onion stuffing. Well, mum, bless her, has been gone nearly 30 years, so it's definitely an old one. And it's two large onions, water, half to an ounce of butter, 4 ounces of breadcrumbs, 4 to 5 sage leaves or 2 teaspoonfuls of dried sage, 1/2 teaspoonful of salt and 1/4 teaspoonful of pepper. You peel the onions, put them into a pan of cold water, bring to the boil, cook for about 5 minutes. Strain off the water, cover the onions with fresh boiling water and cook until tender. Drain well and then chop finely. Then add the butter, the breadcrumbs, the chopped sage and seasoning and mix well together. I shall put this on Instagram and Facebook too, so you can have a go if you wish. Now, if you tune in regularly to Shapbaggily, you will know that Glyn and I work quite a lot with chefs when they are invited to do cookery demonstrations at food festivals primarily, and the event then books us and our kitchens to host them. Well, earlier in the year, we had superstar couple Sue and Mark Stinchcombe join us. Mark is a previous winner of the BBC's MasterChef The Professionals, and Sue also competed, but on the Great British Menu. It's always fun to have them with us, especially as it's live. And on this occasion, Sue, when trying to compare the high price of saffron with something, chose the most unlikely subject. Cocaine.
I watched the documentary and I thought it was so fascinating. See what resonated, can't you? I meant gold. Yeah. They did say gold and cocaine, because that's what they said.
Now, you've just done demo with three ingredients. Well, no, three dishes, I should say. So, for folk that were there.
A Seven Away smoked salmon with a beetroot relish and a treacle bread, because I'm currently the head chef of the Seven Away Smokery.
We did bream en papillote, which means in paper, chilli, coriander, garlic, lemongrass, quite big flavours in there, baked it with some new potatoes. And then we did the passion fruit souffle and the mango sorbet that was from Berry's Sorbet, where I'm doing some work for them at the moment. Yeah, it went well. Oh yeah, the pineapple compote, which we put a dash of chilli in as well.
And then you come off the stage, everybody's gone, that's wonderful, and Mark says you didn't do the salad.
Yeah.
Just a perfectionist. Just our heads went.
Yeah, our heads did go. Oh, it's fun though. We do enjoy doing that. We enjoy doing it a lot. We take cooking really seriously, but nothing else. Nothing else.
It kind of comes over though when you do a demonstration, because you're smiling and then the audience are smiling.
Yeah, we have. And hopefully this, you know, people that have seen us before aren't too bored, and people that have seen us for the first time, hopefully they laugh.
And I love the way the children have to come, because they're still at that age, but we brought them
dragged.
In a trolley.
Yeah.
A trolley.
We dragged them along.
They didn't want to come.
Yeah.
They wanted to watch Peppa Pig, but the trolley came out, so they enjoyed a little trip around the Easter Castle.
I can't believe 2015 was when the year where that means we're all getting older.
I know.
That's just frightening.
No, it's a good job this is not TV. You can't see our faces.
We've established things have got easier though, haven't we, now since your year?
Yeah. No, we haven't. I think the standard has gotten progressively higher over. I do, but I think
things have evolved. Cooking's evolved at such a rate, and we were on that cusp, weren't we? When you did it, it was high, and it's just elevated another level, evolved. The whole cooking scene has. Look what you've got here today. It's absolutely incredible, and you didn't used to have that years ago.
The whole food industry has changed within 15 years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And kind of we were in the middle, and where it is now, there is.
Yeah,
it's massive.
It's gone sky high now.
Which is because you think there are really no new rules. The rules are still there. It's just the different things you're doing with the rules.
I think at the minute people are travelling more. I think people are bringing flavours across from different countries. I think it's progressively moving, and London is becoming a massive food hub.
But it used to be, very quintessential and classic French cooking. That was what it was for such a long time. And then people got, a bit braver and introduced things, and now it's just exploded, hasn't it?
How do we fare, do you think, with the rest of the world? Because we were kind of the laughing stock for years, weren't we? Let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've absolutely smashed it now. I think we've got everything, haven't we? We've got so many different.
I think that's the thing about British cuisine, is it takes inspiration from all around the world, whereas the French stick to quite typically French. The Spanish are very Spanish. Italians are very Italian. But we kind of draw in all of that and create different bits and pieces from that. So
could you describe British cuisine then? I suppose you couldn't.
No, not now, I don't think. Because you used to say classically French with a twist, didn't you? That's what we used to say that every single time, because it was the easiest thing to say to say what we were doing. But now, I mean, it's got elements from all over the world, hasn't it? Which is great for us, because there's, so much more to play with, isn't it?
Are you still learning?
Of course. Every day, isn't it? We kind of look and see, and there's so much. Social media is massive. To kind of draw inspiration from, obviously, cookery programs, shows like this, just everything all kind of draws together. So, yeah, you'll never stop learning in food.
And what was the last thing you learnt then, Sue? Oh,
talk about putting me on the spot. Don't turn the oven up to 225 when you put a souffle in at a cookery demo. Leave it at 200 and hope to the best.
Don't go around shouting about your cocaine addiction.
The fabulous Mark and Sue Stinchcombe. If ever you find yourself in Gloucestershire, Mark is executive chef at the 7 and Y Smokery, and Sue is the development chef for the rather wonderful Berry's Luxury Ice Cream. Thank you as always for your lovely messages, be it via Facebook, Instagram or podcast at theshackbaggerly.co.uk. Apologies, I don't always get the chance to mention them, but please know I do read each and every one. Mind you, with the Christmas song coming up, there could well be a few, please don't do that again. We'll see. Right, last one from Chef Mark Harris with a festive tip for the holidays.
Roast potatoes, most important part of any Sunday dinner. Certainly a Christmas dinner. We take good quality potatoes. I know most chefs, being chef, you say, oh, you've got to have the best quality potatoes, but it really does matter. It just does. So we tend to peel them, boil them in salted water, quite heavily salted, because potatoes take on an amazing amount of salt. When you taste the water, you've really got to be able to taste the salt. Not over the top, but more salty than you'd comfortably be happy with. And then you boil them till they're at the just before mashed potato. That's the secret. Got to be brave. Got to be super brave. Lift them out very gently and let them dry on a tray, ideally in the fridge overnight, 24 hours. Really dry them out. Get the dry matter into it. Then what we do, we call it the rubbish tub, which is probably a really bad term for it. But it's what we call it. I mean, it's another name in the kitchen, but we'll call it rubbish. What we do, we save all the dripping from all the meats that we roast the week before. So you could do it over a matter of weeks where you just save it. Even if you like roasting a chicken midweek or anything, just save any fat in the bottom of the tray. Save it all. And then we also add a bit of garlic oil into it that we save. Mix it all together, a bit of oil, a bit more salt, because I know it's not really healthy, but why not? Coat the potatoes the next day really well with the dripping, and then we put them in an oven, 200 degrees, really good if you get like little broken bits and crunchy bits, and just roast them to within an inch of their life. Really, really like lots of crunchy bits, lots of dark golden bits, and that's the secret of our good roast potatoes.
Thank you to Mark from the Pheasant at Neaton and Tally Ho near Ludlow in Shropshire for kindly sharing his hints and tips this week and last. It's a busy time for those in hospitality, and I wish you all a good one. All this talk of festivities, and so I thought I would share with you a story that could easily be the theme of a Christmas movie. One of my dear pals, Teresa, has been on her own since losing her husband, Tim, 11 years ago. Well, recently, out of the blue, she had a phone call from an old friend called Phil, who was ringing from abroad wanting to meet up. This then led to Teresa ringing me, and we're not talking that long ago.
It must be 4 months ago now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you remember the conversation when you rang me?
Yes, I do. Very nervous about this meet-up, and we'd set up a code whereby you would ring me, and if there was a problem, I would have a get out clause. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I never got a phone call.
No, you didn't. No, because it went really well.
So, Phil, who was the one that initiated the phone call,
who lives in Spain.
Yeah. You've been friends with him for years and years and years, and you were still in touch.
Yeah, indeed. And with his wife, who sadly passed away a couple of years ago. Yeah. But yes, we've stayed in touch all those years. So, and he just phoned me and said, I'm coming over to see my daughter. And I said, oh, that's lovely. And he said, do you fancy meeting up for a bit of lunch? I said, that'd be really nice. He said, lovely to see you again. And he said, I'm bringing a friend. I said, oh, yeah. He said, somebody you know from your past. And I said, who would that be? And he said, oh, it's Rob. And I went, what? Because we were engaged 50-odd years ago, 53, 54 years ago, and we split up. It wasn't through anything going wrong with us. It was somebody spreading some awful rumours.
Oh, no.
And it broke us up because I dumped him, because, to me, trust is everything. Anyway, we split up and went our different ways. So I thought this meeting could be quite embarrassing because I hadn't seen him all this time.
So had there been any communication with you both in that 50-plus years?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Had you heard anything? Because that's always a thing, hadn't it? Had you heard anything, say, from Phil about what he was up to?
No, not a word. It was completely out of the blue, this. So it was an awful lot of catching up to do. And, I mean, he was married and his wife passed away, sadly, then remarried again. And he's got two delightful daughters and a son. So, right. Yeah.
So you're now thinking, oh, my Lord, it's Rob. Now, you said you were engaged. So how long were you together? Together
2 years.
Was that forever in that time you thought, this is it, this is the one?
Oh yes, at the time. And it just went pear-shaped. Not
because of this, whoever said
somebody
something.
Phoned my mother to say because I was working in London at the time and he lived in Kent, and his brother's girlfriend phoned my mother to say he was playing away while I was working in London.
Yes, so we didn't give him any opportunity all those years ago. Did you know why you'd got rid of him?
No, I was just so hurt because my mother phoned up, and I'm not a confrontational person, so I just thought, just knock it on the head and walk away.
And I imagine he was trying to ring you, he possibly wrote to you, but that was it, he'd done it, the trust had gone, moving on, onward upwards. Okay, so since the last 50 years, you married yourself.
Yes,
well, no,
I did.
You didn't marry yourself, because that would be a bit weird, wouldn't it? But you were married.
Yes.
That didn't work out. But then you found your Tim.
Yes. Yes. Who was the most delightful, lovely man, as you know, because you've met him. He was lovely. And it broke my heart. So he died just over 11 and a half years ago. And I thought, that's it, Teresa, at your age, you're just treading water until, you know, I sort of pass on wherever to. And I'd resigned myself to that fact that my life, that side of my life, any sort of romance or anything like that had gone.
Yeah. We would go out, didn't we? And we chatted. And there was one moment, wasn't there? Somebody tried to fix you up with this chat, this blind date. Oh. That went really well, didn't it?
Oh, it went down like a lead balloon. He didn't like dogs. Couldn't see the point of dogs.
No.
And because I love dogs, as you know.
I'm not quite sure what that friend was trying to do, but for somebody to set up with somebody with a dog, who then somebody didn't like a dog, I don't know. So we've been, haven't we, moseying on. You've got a lovely home. You've got a circle of friends.
Yes.
You're okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
And then this phone call. So you went, didn't you, to meet Phil, who was the one that initiated the phone call from Spain. And Robert. How were you feeling when you drove up there into the car park?
Very, very nervous, because it could have gone either way. But as soon as I saw him, it was like, bing, the lights all went on.
Wow.
You know, it was extraordinary. It was like going back 50-odd years, as if we'd never been apart. Huh. Yeah.
Jeez. Had he changed much?
No, as a person he hasn't, because obviously we've all got wear and tear, you know. I mean, Katie's 50-odd years. But no, it was weird. But what was funny was that he bought me a bouquet of flowers that he put in the boot of his car, and he couldn't get them out of the boot. The locking mechanism had defeated him. So I drove off from the pub, all sort of light and airy fairy, you know, thinking, oh, this is okay. Maybe we'll get together again. And he then phoned and said, look, I've got your flowers. Can I meet you tomorrow? And so I went over to meet him on his own. That was it, really.
Was this a ploy, do you think, the flowers locked in the
boot? No, it was genuine, because I saw Phil and Rob grappling with the back of this car, and I thought, there's no way that's going to happen.
How many fellas does it take to open a boot of a car?
Exactly.
Right. When you were in the meal and you were talking with Phil and Rob, wasn't there a time, because you've told me this recently, that Phil just suddenly disappeared for no apparent reason?
Yeah, he said, I'm just going to the loo, but he'd prearranged with Rob, or Rob had prearranged with him, that if things were going well, that Phil had to go to the loo and give us a bit of space. And poor Phil, apparently, he was in the loo for ages. And then we had to go outside and then come back in. Yeah, it was hysterical.
But we didn't know about that. So like you and I had worked out a code.
He had as well.
I'd love to know what that code was, because all of a sudden he disappeared. Yes. So at any stage during this chat with all of you, had it come up about 50 years ago?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. With three of you together?
Yes. Yeah.
Who started that? Who started the conversation? Do you remember?
I can't remember, to be honest, Katie. I think it might have been, it probably was me, I think. Yes, I'm pretty sure it was me.
And how did you start that conversation?
Well, I just to explain why I'd broken up with him. I should have told him 50-odd years ago instead of, like, present day. Stupid, isn't it?
So you said what you've told us.
Yeah.
It was somebody had said something.
Yeah.
What did Rob say?
He was mortified. He knew nothing about it at all.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
He must have felt dreadful. Yeah. Well, you must have felt dreadful knowing that it was a lie.
Yeah, it was awful. It was quite a shock. But and he was genuine, and Phil backed him up on it, saying, yes, that was absolute bunkum.
Oh, yeah. When you left there, yes, he'd got the flowers locked in the boot. Had you said, oh, I'd like to see you again, or was it just as a friends getting together again? Where were we?
We were going to start phoning each other, and sort of one thing led to another, and he's been coming backwards and forwards 180 miles. Every month, you know.
Because he doesn't live just around the corner.
No, he lives in Sussex.
Which is from us, as you say.
It's about nearly 4 hours' drive.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
We are now in a relationship?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah, we're making all sorts of plans together. And he's coming up to stay with me over Christmas, which is absolutely wonderful. Because I haven't had a Christmas with anybody for a good many years. I've never felt like it. But I'm rather going over the top, I have to admit. I mean, I could feed the 5,000. I can't get any more in my fridge at the moment. The doors are creaking.
Oh.
I wanted to be special because it's our first Christmas together.
Yeah. And that is just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. You must feel, well, I don't know. How do you feel?
Like a love-struck teenager, to be honest, yeah. And at 74, that's not bad, is it? And I have told you my age.
No, but it is wonderful. And his family, I bet they can't wait to meet you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting them. So I'm going down in January to stay with him. We're going on holidays. We're going to visit Phil in Spain.
Yeah.
So it's going to be great.
This is a whole new life, T.
It is. Who would have thought it? I never expected this.
It is like a Christmas movie. It really is. So I wanted this to go out on Chat Bagley.
Oh, bless you.
Because it is. It's just, you know how happy I am for you both.
I know you are. And it's lovely because it gives hope for other people like me who've been on their own. There is somebody out there for everybody. And I really believe that. So it's going to be a really good Christmas.
It is. Happy Christmas, Motherly, and Happy New Year.
And to you too, my lovely, and to yours.
My friend Teresa, who is going to have the best Christmas. And Glyn and I couldn't be happier for both her and Rob. And Phil, if you're listening, good on you, lad. Told you it could be a Christmas movie. And I must say thank you to Teresa for sharing it with us. She didn't know she was going to. It was only when we met in a car park this week to exchange gifts that I whipped my recorder out. So I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. I'm going to take a couple of weeks off, so I shall see you again in 2024. I'll pop pictures and behind the scenes happenings on Chat Bagley's Facebook and Instagram pages. And please do like or follow so you don't miss anything. And please do subscribe to the podcast. It's totally free and no funny business, I promise. So that's it for another week. Thank you for listening and see you next time. And I'll leave you with this. With apologies to George Weil and Eddie Poehler. Happy Christmas. It is that time of the year for the song, which says thank you for listening and keeping your company with Chat Bagley. Means so much having you here for the ride. It's a podcast that began with a two, but then Howard left sadly, was me on my lonesome Chat Bagley's end. No more loose, disorderly podcast. But then guests for the chatting, still recipes fitting, and you tuning in round the globe. There is always a story, your messages for me, so I've carried on my own. It is that time of the year for the song, which says thank you for listening and keeping your company with Chat Bagley.
thanking you at this time with this song. With guests for the chatting, the recipes fitting, and you tuning in round the globe. There is always a story, your message is for me, so I'll carry on my own. So here at Christmas time is my song, which says thank you for listening and keeping your company with Shaq Bagley. I have the most wonderful time because you give me your time, so I will continue the time for Shaq Bagley.